came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So Todd, I invite you up here to share what you got.
Hi, everybody. My name's Todd Beckus. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Todd.
I got two different audiences. This is kind of neat. It's an honor and it's a privilege to stand before you again. And I'm going to another disclaimer. I'm probably going to do this every time that I'm up here. Is these are my opinions based on my experience. I'm not a guru. I don't know everything about the steps. These are the steps as I understand them. So I want to get that out of the way. Tonight, I'll share my experience, my strength, and my hope as it relates to step two. And one of the things that was pointed out to me, and I suspect you probably already know, but I found it kind of profound when I thought about it, is each step builds on the next one, and they're all in the past tense. So step one says, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. It's in the past tense. Two, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And when I sit there and I think about that, one builds on the other. So step two is built on from step one. And we talked about that last week. We talked about the powerlessness. We talked about surrender. Talk a little bit about surrender. And my experience with step two, it is my favorite step. It took me a long time to get step two to sink through into my head. I really, truly worked on this for a couple months. And my sponsor, Jim Nelson at the time, was instrumental in helping me to see how insane my life really was. And it's ridiculous to sit here. It's ridiculous to look at my life today that I couldn't see when I walked in, that I truly couldn't see how insane my life was. Because when I walked in, it was the only life that I knew. God bless you. It was the only life that I knew. I was so used to the chaos. I was so used to the remorse. I was so used to the guilt. Everything that you live with. Everything that I lived with as a result of my drinking. So when I come in here, that was all that I knew. I can look back on it today and it's painfully obvious how crazy the existence was. I truly believe that step two is in two parts. Came to believe in a power greater than ourselves. Could restore us to sanity. And I did. I did a little bit of research, and I'm not going to sit here and read you a report about step two. I wrote down a few sentences to help it jar my mind and where they came from. When I came in, it was hard enough to admit step one, and then to move on to step two, I really couldn't see it. I couldn't see that part that it talks about. Step two deals with mental illness. For however intelligent we may have been in other respects, wherever alcohol had been involved, we have been strangely insane. Some pretty powerful words. Today I can look back at my life and I can see how insane that it was. But it was normal. It was so normal to wake up and to have shame and to have guilt and to have remorse about what I did the night before. It was normal to wake up and regret what I had done the night before. It was normal to wake up and have that hole in my stomach, that fear that somebody may have saw what I had done. I'm going to take you back. And we talked a little bit about this last week. We talked a little bit about the car accident where I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. And we talked a little bit about the thinking process and how I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and how I really tried at that particular time. I wanted to be able to drink and not get into trouble. I didn't understand the problem. I didn't understand the allergy and the addiction. I didn't understand that. So when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I really didn't put forth too much of an effort. I didn't know that the steps were there for a reason. I didn't know that people applied them to their lives, so I didn't really put much of an effort into sobriety. And before you knew it, I was doing the same things that led up to that car accident. And that summer, that car accident was kind of crazy. My dad calls, I was sitting there, and I often think about what I did to the family. And I recall one morning, early in the morning, my dad woke me up here. I was taking a leak down the steps. I thought I was in the bathroom, I guess. And somehow tried to blame him for that. I mean, that's crazy. I look back and I tried to blame my dad for that. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, after living the life that I lived, and when I came in and started to put forth some sort of an effort, as we had talked about last week, I believed in God. I truly did believe there was a God. But I lacked any faith that God would have anything to do with somebody like me. And this is my opinion. Some people, you'll hear other people talk about different things. So please, please understand, this is my opinion, this is my belief. That I truly believe that step two is a faith step. I really, truly believe that. It's where I started to get a little bit of faith that this power wanted to have anything to do with me. And how did I start to get that? And I'm going to tell you. Working with the sponsor. Jim Nelson, God rest his soul. You know, I'm forever grateful for him. I was having a hard time with step two because it talked about insanity. And like I said, when I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous, I could not see the insanity in my life. I could sit here and I'm going to tell you about some of the things. But when I came in, that was normal. Doesn't everybody do that? No, they don't. They don't. But Jim Nelson introduced me to this little red book. It's not AA approved. But you know what? There's a wealth of information in there. There's a wealth of information. And it helped me to see where my life was truly insane. It started talking about things. Faith in a higher power is the basic law of recovery. Don't say faith in God. It says faith in a higher power. So when I came in, although I believed in God, I truly didn't believe that he wanted anything to do with me. But I got to see the power of the group. Because you see, I was a retread, okay? I was a retread. And there were people that I recall that were in when I first come around. And you know what? I'm one guy in particular. I'm Jack. Jack A. Jack was a really angry individual when I came in. He was just ranting and raving down at the Alcanon Club. I remember that just like it was yesterday. And when I came in and I stuck around for a little bit, I got to see Jack. This is probably a couple years after I came in. I got to see a change in him. I got to see that glow in his eyes. I got to see his calmness. I saw a change. So I started to put a little bit of faith in the group that maybe, if it could work for you, perhaps it could work for me. Also, the little red book, there's a lot of stuff that in there. There's so many different sentences. There's so many things that I started to relate to. No alcoholic acts sanely while drinking. Chronic poisoning from alcohol results in compulsive drinking and insane behavior. And I remember that one hit me when I reread it again. I remember that one hit me really hard. Because if you drank like I drank, I didn't stop at a couple beers. When I drank a lot. I mean, I'm not any different. But the part that I'm getting to, the part I'm alluding to, is the body can only oxidize so much alcohol in an hour. It only gets rid of about 1 ounce or the equivalent of one drink every hour. So if you drank the quantities that I drank, I always had alcohol in my system. I might not have felt drunk. I might have been staggering or slurring my words and everything, but there was alcohol in my system. And that statement, no alcoholic acts sanely while drinking. Chronic poisoning from alcohol results in compulsive drinking and insane behavior. So what does that tell me? If I always had alcohol in my system, I wasn't thinking right. That statement hit me hard. And like I'm trying to condense about 2 months of working this step, trying to work this step into a few minutes. That was paramount. That statement, that sentence was paramount. And Jim helped me to see how the body and oxidized and so on and so forth. Jim helped me to see those things. And it's important for me to get along. Is the we is implied in this step. I didn't do this by myself. A lot of close contact with my sponsor to come to an understanding and a belief and a feeling of step two. And then I read this next. It says, the truth of the matter is that most of our members have only acted in a level of insanity during periods of intoxication. And that's so true. I look back over my life. When I was 19, I punched out 19 windows at the place I worked at. A real sane thing to do, right? Right. A month later, I put my arms through a quarter inch pane of glass. Really class act. Really good decision to do. I was in a major car accident a couple years after that. Totaled my car in a straightaway. That's really sane. Really sane. Think of really sane behavior. So I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, and they talk about coming to believe in a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. My biggest hang-up with step two was insanity. It truly was. My biggest hang-up with step two was that word, insanity. I couldn't apply it to myself. I couldn't see that things that I were doing were insane. I couldn't see the life that I live in was insane. I'll give you a little clue. I, at 24 years old, I moved into a two-bedroom trailer with a girl with her four kids. Really sane thinking, really good decision. That's where my head was at. So when I came in again and decided to stay and started looking at the steps and started looking at step two, I had a really hard time. A real hard time because of that word insanity. Because in my mind, the way that I was thinking, insane people, Hammett Mental Health was at that time. Hammett Mental Health was down on whatever street it was by Hammett. That's where insane people were. The things that happened to me were just bad luck, right? It wasn't my fault, it was their fault, it was their fault, it was his fault, it was her fault. But I went to a meeting, and coupled with the little red book, the big book, working with my sponsor, the thing that really put everything together was when I went to a meeting and somebody described insanity as doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. That was the turning point in working step two for me. Because I did a quick inventory of myself, and I looked at my life. I'm going to talk about some things. I already talked a little bit about them. When I was 15 years old, I remember getting drunk, getting busted by my dad. Swore I was never going to do it again. And I meant that. I really, truly meant that. Needless to say, I did it again. When I was 16, almost 17 in high school, going to prom, I drank a fifth of whiskey, got caught, got in a lot of trouble, swore I was never going to do it again. I did it again. Got in a little bit of trouble when I was 18. We talked about this last week. I got 12-stepped by my cousin. Swore I was never going to do it again. Did it again. I was 19, punched out the window, swore I was never going to do it again. I meant it. You got to understand, when I said these things, with every fiber of my being, every part of my body, I swore I was never going to do it again. And I meant it. I truly meant it. A month after that, I put my arms through a quarter inch pane of glass, and it wasn't pretty, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't pretty. My dad come home. I come home, went to bed. My dad come down to the bathroom. There's blood all over the sink. That's the kind of things that I did. That's the kind of things I did when I drank. That's the kind of things. Put my family through hell. I really, truly did. I look at it now. It's so obvious to me now. I couldn't see it back then. It's just part of the price that you paid. Thought it was bad luck. And if you're anything like me, I could rationalize every stinking thing that I did. Everything. It was never, ever my fault. It was always everybody else's fault. Always everybody else's fault. In a major car accident. Major car accident. Horrific car accident. Life-changing car accident. I'm facing years in prison for this car accident. swore I was never going to do it again. And I truly meant it. I truly meant it. With every fiber of my being, every part of me, I never wanted to put my family through that again. I picked up again. Not because I'm bad. Understand, I'm not a bad person. I'm an alcoholic. What's the most natural thing for an alcoholic to do? To drink. I'm trying to control something that I couldn't control, and I couldn't see it. And the things that I did, the behavior that I exhibited while drinking was truly, truly, truly insane. Truly insane. Truly. To go to a bar where the lawyer is prosecuting you is, and to drink. I mean, normal people wouldn't do that. Normal people, if something like that happened to them, they probably wouldn't be at the bar to begin with. But I'm an alcoholic. I have this itch that I got to scratch. And I can't not. I can't not drink. Wrecked the car in the straightaway. Got introduced to AA. Continued to do insane things. Just continued. And it wasn't until working with Jim and the little red book that I could finally see for the first time in my life that I truly was insane when I drank. As I said, it's so obvious to me today to look back over my life and to see how insane that it was. It's so obvious. But when I was living it, it wasn't an everyday thing. Sometimes drinking was okay. Sometimes. But usually it was drinking because I had to drink. I didn't see that back then. And the insane behavior would happen. I would get in trouble eventually. But I just couldn't see it. So step two is where I came to believe in that power greater than myself. I started to have some sort of belief and I started to take some actions. What did I start to do? We talked about it a little bit last week. I was very educated when it came to God. I was brought up in Catholic church, went to Catholic school, so I could give you a definition of a whole bunch of things. I never had a relationship with God. I never had a relationship with Him, or a higher power, if you will. And growing up, when I got into trouble, I was always praying. You had to say that, and then in the same sentence to say, whenever I was in trouble, I was always praying God to get me out of that. What an insane existence. So when I come to Alcoholics Anonymous with no belief, no faith that God would perform this miracle for me, I truly had none. I started to take some of your suggestions. And we did talk about this. I started to get on my knees and ask this power greater than myself, this God, for help to stay sober. And before I went to bed, I'd get on my knees and I'd say thank you. It was really hard at first. It felt really funny. It felt really awkward. I lived alone. Now, who really gives a crap? But I lived alone. It was awkward. So they suggested to put my cigarettes under the bed. And I smoked at the time. So I would, before I go to bed, I'd shove my cigarettes underneath. I'd say thank you. And then I'd wake up and, you know, I'm down on my knees and grab my cigarettes and I'd say, hey, help me. That's how I started. And a little while after that, I don't remember how long, it wasn't real long, I made a conscious decision. I made a conscious decision that I was going to forget everything that I thought I knew about God and seek, learn again. And that's what I did. That's exactly what I did. And I really started to immerse myself in this program. I was young. I didn't chair. I mean, I didn't chair. I didn't secretary. I didn't do things like that. I went to meetings and I started to get involved. How do you get involved? Well, by God, you wipe tables off. We smoked back then. We used to have the ashtrays. Yeah. Setting up, tearing down, getting involved in Alcoholics Anonymous, getting in Alcoholics Anonymous. And what I found, when I was doing things like that, I started to feel like I was a part of it. I started to feel a part of. And as I'm going along, little things are starting to happen. Now, I'm going to talk more about that next week. These little things that, when I'm trying to make this decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, little things start to happen. And I want to talk about more about that next week. But in order to get to that, this is important stuff. This is really important. This is huge. Because I finally started to see where, A, my life was truly insane. My existence was truly insane. Normal people don't do those sort of things. Normal people don't do those. They don't do those sort of things. Normal people don't drink for effect. Normal people drink alcohol like they have a drink of water or a cup of coffee, you know, for relaxation or whatever. They enjoy a beverage. I never enjoyed alcohol. It was strictly something to do for me. It did something for me. Period. There's no exception to that. There was times in my life where maybe I was trying to prove that I wasn't an alcoholic. And I might have had a couple. I remember one. I got to tell you this story. I was in trouble. My dad, you know, tried to reel me in a little bit. And so I started to come home a little bit. I had to be home by 1 o'clock in the morning. That's crazy now. I'm in bed usually by 9, 9:30, 10. So I had to be in by 1 o'clock. And I'm out at the bar at Plumbers, and I'm having a couple beers, and boy, I'm just hurting my arm, patting myself in the back because I only had a couple beers, right? And I went driving home, and I don't know if you've ever been to Plumbers, it's in New York on the other side. There's this curve, this kind of a, not a real sharp curve, but kind of a gradual curve. And there is this rail. And I come up on this accident. This little girl, she was loaded. She was drunk. She wrecked on a more or less a straightaway, and I didn't make fun of her there, but I started to laugh and kind of make fun in the back of my head because she wrecked on a straightaway. Guess what? I did too. So I think God has always been talking to me and telling me about these little things, you know, these little premonitions of things that are to come if you don't straighten up. I really truly believe that. I got to see things like that. I was leaving my parents one day, and I see this Cadillac come out. I mean, up from where I could see up ahead, and this Cadillac, next I go up, he's in the ditch on his side. He gets out. He was loaded off his rear end. He thought he was fooling everybody. Wasn't fooling anybody. I never knew what happened with that. He was okay. I kind of went home after that, but it's crazy. It's just crazy. These little premonitions. I really truly believe God was talking to me, showing me, allowing me to see what alcohol could do or was doing to other people. I had similar things happen to me. Similar things happened to me, but I couldn't see what I was doing was always different for me. If you would drink like me, you would be okay. Yeah, right? It's crazy to even think that. Don't drink. I didn't know how to drink. But so now I have this God of my understanding in my life. And I could see where my life was insane. It took a couple months for me to actually get through step two. And it helped me to move on to the next steps, move on to the rest of the steps, where I could finally put the two. I was able to move on and work the rest of the steps. That's why step two is my favorite, because I could finally see where my life was truly, truly insane, where my existence was truly, truly insane, where my thinking was truly insane. And I could start to turn around. It didn't happen overnight, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight for me. I continue to reaffirm myself. I could still have some pretty insane thinking. Oh my gosh, I think about when my wife, I talk about her and my daughter a lot. I think about when we got together. You know, we got together, it came this little package deal. And when we moved in, you know, I had in my mind the way things were going to be. And I'll tell you what, insane thinking. they put me in my place real quick. but if I don't watch it, truly, if I don't watch, I can go right back there real quick. Especially if I mix my expectations in with it. So that is my 2 cents worth on step two, and I want to thank you for listening. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Todd. Hello? Okay. It's a little loud. So now we will open this up to our question and answer portion. If there's anybody here in the room that has a question, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll get the microphone over to you. If you're on Zoom, feel free to go ahead and speak up whenever you have an opportunity. So who would like to get us started?
on Zoom.
I'm not getting off that easy, am I?
Kevin's got about 10 questions lined up just in case.
Thanks, Todd. I really enjoyed tonight. You answered one of my questions a minute ago. You answered my question a few minutes ago when I was going to ask you, do you still find yourself with insane thinking? Yeah. And so you answered that. But do you sometimes catch yourself in the middle of doing insane acting?
Can I answer that?
Spouses aren't allowed.
I didn't know that was funny, but I'd love to hear it.
You know what? That's a really, really good question. I think sometimes for me, I get on my high horse and I become my higher power. I think that I know what's best. And I start spouting off like I know what's best. And I'm quickly put in my place because when you live with a spouse who or married to a spouse who's also in recovery, we kind of check and balance. We have check and balance system. It's not always that easy. I'm not sitting there and saying, oh, it's honey, you're acting insane. Oh, I am so sorry, honey. It's not like us. Sometimes
what are you talking about?
Sometimes it's down shake, but you know what, it works. But yes, to answer your question, sure, absolutely. Home life, at work sometimes. Sometimes, I'll tell you a little story. God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. I was working, and I'm bringing this up a lot because I didn't even realize how crazy it was where I was working at. I would come home every day, head dragging, beat up from work. Being bullied, not even realize you're being bullied. Just a real unhealthy atmosphere, a real toxic atmosphere. Day after day after day. And my wife is watching me go down, down, down. Watching me get beat up and see me going down. My attitude, everything about me. Well, I walked in there one day and they walked me out. Maybe I talked about that last week. And what I thought was a really horrible thing at that particular time truly turned out to be a blessing. Who knows what would have happened had I stuck on like that? I don't know. So I really think the insane part was sticking to something when those things are happening. So the answer to your question is, yes. Absolutely.
I love what you're saying because I so relate. Do you find, as I try to do with my grandchildren, do you try to incorporate that look, that insanity that you see in others, do you try to look at that like steering children in the right direction, like incorporating our program into our children? They wouldn't understand, but do you find yourself thinking like, I need to handle this a different way? It's hard to watch children being insane and the family insane and then trying to steer them in a direction. I'm not sure if you know exactly what I'm saying, but it's hard to watch when they're doing what we did.
I have there's eight of us all together. And of all the siblings, let's see, there's one, two that are in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's one who thinks that we think she's in Alcoholics Anonymous, but she's playing the game. And there's the other three. I have one brother who is he goes to church and doesn't drink. He uses church. And then I have three others two that I don't know that they really have a problem. One who shows signs. So we have a slogan in Alcoholics Anonymous called Live and Let Live. And when I think, when I look at that, what I think about is, who am I to prevent that from hitting their bottom? I try to be a power of example, to be non-judgmental, but at the same time let them know that I'm approachable. And that's served me well. My daughter, I don't know that she drinks a whole heck of a lot. I know that they use alcohol, but you know what they like to do? They stay at home and they cook. Sure, I believe they use alcohol, but they do things like that. They do stuff together. They go to restaurants together. They go and visit friends together. They do things like that together. They don't exhibit or do the things that we were doing at their age. You know, I'm looking at them and I adore them. But we still try to lead by example. We try to lead. Our example is more powerful than anything I could possibly say, and that's what Alcoholics Anonymous taught me. Lead by your example.
Who else has a question for Todd?
Hey Todd, thanks. Jack, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jack.
So you mentioned some of the things Jim did with you, the big book and working with you and the little red book and things like that. I guess one of the questions I have is, when you're working with people on step two, what are some of the things that you do to help them work through the step if they're struggling as you did and as many of us do with the whole insanity and higher power stuff? Thanks.
That's a really good question. What I was taught was that you sponsor the way that you were sponsored. So the guys that I sponsor, we go through the steps one-on-one. One-on-one. I incorporate the big book. I incorporate the steps we took and carry this message. And I don't just say, okay, read this and we'll talk about it. We sit there and we read it together, kind of like a big book meeting or a step meeting. I'll read a paragraph, they'll read a paragraph. And the neat thing about it is I'm able to share my experience with them. I'm able to share some of the things that happened to me or some of the ways that I felt. And especially with step two, this book was just paramount in getting me over the insanity. I couldn't understand, it was a paramount. So what I'm able to do is to share my experience, my strength and my hope with them on a one-on-one basis. And there's a lot of schools of thought on the way you should work the steps. I know the big book talks about one way. I really truly believe some people need to rush through them. Other people need to go a little slower. I think it's up to the sponsor. And I think you get a really good understanding of the person you're sponsoring when you sit there with that one-on-one. They're going to say things, you're going to see things that they're saying, you're going to hear things they say, but most importantly, you're going to hear or see things they're not saying when you have that one-on-one. So I do the one-on-one face-to-face. I've got level AA. That's what I like. That's what Jim did with me. That's what Mike does with me. You pass on what you were taught. Thanks.
Who else? Anyone on Zoom?
Looks like somebody has a hand raised. Is that a hand raised?
Yes,
Deidre.
Hey, Deidre, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Deidre.
Deirdre, yes. Hi. Hi there.
Hi.
Happy to be here. Well, thank you so much for your share. I wanted to ask, how is it that you, I guess this is a question that my sponsor recently asked me, and I'm wondering if you could maybe answer this. How did you, let me rephrase it. How did you make your higher power your own? How is your higher power personal to you?
You know what? That's a really good question. That's a really good question. As I had mentioned, I was brought up in the Catholic faith, and there's nothing that I went back to the Catholic faith later on. But that's another story for another time. But growing up, I didn't have a relationship. God was there to get me out of trouble. God was there to make a laundry list of things that I wanted. God was there to take care of whatever. He was just there. I didn't have a relationship with Him. And when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I started to see how He was working in my life, I'm going to give you an example. So I'm getting on my knees and I'm asking the God of my understanding for help. Okay? And before I go to bed, I'm getting on my knees and I'm saying thank you. Now, I don't know what the time frame is. It doesn't matter the time frame. But at some point in that time, something happened to me that I truly never thought that would happen to me. And that was the compulsion to drink to be lifted. And I remember sitting in the Alcanon Club, and when I say this, they're not an idiot, but that's what my thought was at that time. This idiot's up there, he's talking about how this and Alcoholics Anonymous, how great it is, he lives a sponsor, he's hunting, and I hated him because I was so miserable, I wanted to drink so bad. I didn't believe it would happen. So now I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm starting to take some of the suggestions, I'm asking for help, and I'm saying thank you. And maybe I talked about this, I don't remember, but I remember being at a family reunion that I told my mom I was going to get drunk at. And they're playing cards at night, and somebody said, we can get a pitcher of beer. And you know, today I'd say, yeah, get your own beer. I'm like, no, but I'm a people pleaser, so I wanted to like me. So I went and I got the beer, and I brought it back. But at that moment, at that time, at that place, I realized I had lost a compulsive drink. I could not have drank that. I didn't want it. So that's how it started. So what started out as help me and thank you, it started to get a little more personal as time went on. I started to call Him God. God, help me. Please help me to stay sober today. God, help me. What do you want me to do? And we'll talk more about that next week with step three. But I started to slowly try to come to an understanding of this God that loves us so much. But it didn't happen overnight. It took effort. It took work. I had to forget everything about the religion that I was taught and have a relationship, kind of like having a relationship with a friend. Talking to them as a friend. Letting them know my wants. Letting them know my trials, my tribulations. They knew it already, but to actually voice it. And to sit back and watch the miracles happen one day at a time. Little things were happening. The compulsion to drink was lifted. And many, many, many other things were starting to happen. They didn't happen overnight. I started to build up this faith. When these little things started to happen, I started to build up some faith, and I wanted to take the suggestions. And these little things were happening to me. The compulsion to drink was lifted. I'm getting out of trouble. I'm getting my family back. And I'm having this relationship with this God of my understanding, just this personal relationship. And it took time to understand this God. It took time to build this relationship with this God. To where it's at today, it took a lot of time, a lot of effort. But it didn't happen overnight. It wasn't the, God, here's my card, this is Todd, we're going to have a relationship. It took a lot of time. That makes sense? Okay. So just practice. Just practice. Ask for help, say thank you at night, and talk to them like you would talk to your best friend. Let Him know what you're going through and have that faith that He's going to take care of, because I promise you, He's going to answer your prayer one way or another in a way that you wouldn't even imagine. In a way you wouldn't even imagine. So hang in there. Hang in there. If you're struggling with it, hang in there and keep
Thank
on trying.
Thank you so much.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Todd.
You're very welcome.
Who else has a question for Todd?
Hi, I'm Seth. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Seth.
Now, I'm only 14 months into my sobriety, but I have hit a roadblock, I guess you can say, early on in recovery. I was making the meetings, I was talking with my sponsor, I was, doing the fellowship, and still managed to hit that roadblock that I wanted to walk out those doors. And that was, I was stumbling on that spiritual connection, the connection with God, and I hit a point that I didn't really want to be here anymore. Thankfully, I was pointed in the right direction, and I was able to, gain traction again, and, grateful to be in this program again. I was wondering if you ever experienced that.
Early on in sobriety, I'm going to tell you what happened. I was probably 3 or 4 months sober. I was really young in the program. And at that particular time, they had the responsibility group. It was Our Lady of Peace, the school behind. And they had it on Wednesday and on Saturday at a particular time, every week. And I don't remember if it was a Saturday I looked at the book or if it was, it doesn't matter. I thought, there's no way they're going to have that meeting 2 times in the same week. And I was kind of feeling about the same. Didn't know if I really wanted to go there. I didn't know if I really wanted to be in Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't remember if I wanted to drink. I don't remember exactly, but I know that I didn't really want to go to a meeting that night, starting to slack off a little bit. So I thought, I'm going to go to that meeting tonight. So I get there and I pull in, and this guy starts walking towards me. He's got this big grin on his face. Here was a guy that he used to drink with. He was in Serenity. They used to take the clients to the meetings at that particular time. And what that did is recharge my batteries. And I never looked back. I got into Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I got my friend Brian. I got to be a good example of AA. And that might have been what threw my head at that particular time. But it really kind of rekindled. It relit a fire. It hasn't gone out. Never looked back. I got into Alcoholics Anonymous. That's when we talked about, cleaning the tables, doing stuff. I remember wiping the table off one night, and one of the old-timers looks at me and says, yeah, that's how I started. Never forgot that. So I don't care how minuscule something you do in Alcoholics Anonymous is, it's for Alcoholics Anonymous, it's for ensure your sobriety. So never look back. And you think about where I met you. I had no inclination the week prior that I was going to be there. Here we are. So God works in mysterious ways, and He works. That's all you really need to know, He works. Good to see you tonight. Thank you.
Anyone else have a question for Todd? Last call. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.